My Dear Fiona by Frances Rosenfeld. Chapter 33, Sailing in Winter. We left Kirkwall hours before dawn, under the glacial rays of a crescent moon, barely a sliver, whose glow was often veiled by passing clouds. Denise insisted on coming with me, although I knew the journey would be long and challenging in winter and wished she could stay in Kirkwall so I wouldn't have to worry about her.
Worry about yourself, Ethel. What makes you think you can handle yourself better than me?
I chose to not respond, partly to avoid an argument and partly because I was still not fully awake, and even though the hot coffee I was drinking helped, my mouth was still numb from the cold. If you were never in the middle of the ocean at night, it's dark, even with the moon and the stars. The surface of the water turns to ink under the black sky. There are no familiar sights and no sound other than that of the waves lapping softly against the hull of the boat. The departure was timed so we'd be crossing the channel at slack tide. The sea was flat like a mirror and the air was perfectly still, something that must have felt like a curse to you, Fiona. I see the knotted rope you tied around your waist, the one you're absent-mindedly touching with your fingers, seeking into the winds whether it was time to undo any of the knots just yet. You saw Jerome cast a spell on the rope before the journey, softly chanting as she worked on each knot, holding them in her hands to fill them with magic, calling out runes and ancient secrets to strengthen their power to control the winds. She looks at you intently and you untie one of the knots, and the surface of the water quickens. You can feel its drag on the boat fasten under the inky sky. The clouds moved in, covering up the moon, and although you can't feel it, you can see the wind in the distance herding the clouds along like sheep. The ship's sails billow as if suddenly full of spirit, only to quickly fall limp, like clothing hung up to dry. You reach for the rope again, but Jerun stays your hand. You have to learn patience, young apprentice, patience, assurance, and control. As the far-off winds come to you from the east, the ship lurches ahead, creating a commotion. The men hustle to alter the rigs and their breath is more noticeable in the dark of the frigid night than their faces, which are coated with coal and antimony and adorned with tattoos. The boat starts moving fast across the still water, heading towards the dark outline of the island in the distance, illuminated by the purplish-gray light of dawn. Look! Denise shook me out of my reverie, pointing towards the horizon. A thin dusting of light highlighted the boundary between water and sky, slowly growing wider before our eyes. We made good time, a member of the crew announced, proud. We'll be there in 15 minutes. The sky went from dark gray to a softer lavender hue, which was oddly chillier than the inky black we had been navigating through. It made Denise shiver. Someone walked upon your grave, I thought, but said nothing out loud. The mere thought of a distant time in the future when my sister would no longer be the embodiment of life itself seemed impossible and absurd. It's getting colder, eh? She mumbled, displeased. You'd think the sunrise would do the exact opposite. It's the thermal mass, I started to explain, but my sister's attention had already veered off. Nothing compares to the feeling of being in the North Atlantic during winter in the darkest hours of the night, a feeling of being trapped and alone in the tiny bubble of safety that is your boat. Where are you taking me, Fiona? I followed you so far from home, to the edge of the earth it seems, but now we have crossed that edge, and I'm afraid, because this doesn't look like we're in reality anymore. I'm afraid I have gone beyond a boundary that humans are not supposed to go beyond, or even know exists, and I feel a heavy responsibility for bringing Denise, the goddess of joy and light, along with me for the ride. Whatever this is, my princess, this is not my world anymore. I glanced over at Denise, expecting to see the same frustration I'd seen on my sister's face when things didn't move quickly enough for her, but there was no sign of it. It's as if she wasn't even inside anymore, leaving her body behind with a blank expression on its face. She felt my gaze and looked back. What? Are you okay? Denise got instantly aggravated by my interruption of something which, I'm sure, was a lot deeper and more meaningful to her than she cared to acknowledge. You know, Ethel, you always ask the stupidest questions. Why on earth wouldn't I be okay? You look forlorn. You don't do forlorn. I'm cold, dumbwit. You know how I hate waking up early. We're in the middle of the Atlantic in winter, with no lights.
We lifted anchor at 4 in the morning and we have however many hours of darkness ahead of us before that sliver on the horizon turns to actual light. How do you think I feel? I told you not to come. And miss this? She stretched her arm to sweep across the vast expanse of the dark substance unknown. Experience, Ethel. Experience is all that matters in this world. That's why we're alive, to experience. Speak for yourself, I mumbled grumpily. Denise wasn't the only one who felt tired, uneasy, and cold. Did you bring snacks? You must be joking. I replied, half relieved there was at least a bit of the old Denise left to recognize. We're docking in 5 minutes. Can't it wait? I'm hungry, she frowned. I reached in the bag and found a candy bar, which she gulped down eagerly. The closer we are to the island, the more something holds me back, because I don't want to see your tomb, my princess, if that's where you truly are. It took me my entire life to figure out that the burial boat, and whatever remains are left on it that time has not destroyed, are just empty vessels for something else, like the cracked shells that are of no use anymore after the baby bird comes out of the egg. I will complete my research, of course, and I will get accolades and the respect of my colleagues for it, I'm sure, but that's not why you brought me here, Fiona. The pages I'd have to write to chronicle this experience don't fit into any known template. This is an intimate journey. Why don't you write about your feelings in your excitable little girl journal, Ethel? Seems fitting, since you're moping around like you got lost in time and can't find your way back to the 19th century, where you belong, Denise mocked. Dear Ethel, I'm talking to myself in the third person. I'm so misunderstood. Shut up, Denise.
You shut up.
Maybe she's right. Not everything is fit for sharing. No matter who the body belonged to that was discovered at the new archaeological dig, there were numerous more unearthed at the larger burial site, and each one's inhabitant lived for a short while and experienced things that were too personal or mysterious to talk about. I don't believe in fate, Fiona. My whole life I looked for facts and proof and worshipped the scientific method. Because I have such a strong bond with you, my princess, I am ready to take a leap of faith and join you on your journey, even though I don't know what to expect and feel completely unprepared for it. People like to laugh at you when you tell them something different from what they are sure is true, but certainty is the enemy of knowledge. You don't deserve the truth if you aren't willing to look silly and contemptible for espousing it, and you are going to get no prizes for being afraid. Once you know something to be true, you can't unknow it, no matter how many haranguing voices insist otherwise. It was a surprise to find myself on this journey with my sister, who is as different from me as night and day, but maybe that wasn't random. We live in a world of duality where nothing can exist in the absence of its opposite. You want to see something? Denise whispered in my ear while we were on the bus, on our way to the site. She opened her parka to reveal a colorful piece of knotted rope, small enough for a keychain, maybe, or a rearview mirror decoration. In time, these small coincidences start to haunt you, this world of reflections where the slightest action, even the most modest thought, creates ripples and projects itself onto other people, things, and events in unexpected ways. Where did you get that? I asked, laughing. The fair, she bragged. The lady who sold it to me said it could tame the winds. Did she now? I eyed my sister intently, to get more details out of her. Yeah, I figured we're going on a boat in winter in the northern seas. The roosts are brutal, the wind's menacing, can't hurt, right?
Ah.
Oh, let it go, Ethel, you and your skeptic friends. If it doesn't hit you in the face, you don't believe it's real. And if it does hit you in the face, you'll find some cockamamie reason why it can't be something you don't know.
Ah. It's pretty.
Just don't wave it around on a sailboat. People may not have a sense of humor about it. Tell me this, Alvis. What is the wind called that travels most widely
in every world? Alvis said.
It is called wind among humans, but waverer among the gods. The great Regan call it Whinier, Jotnar howler, Alfar dinfarer. In hell they call it the whistler. Maybe poetry would have been a better container for your story, Fiona, as it has been for centuries. People like me, who are guided by pragmatism and logic, don't even know an entire world is concealed from them. An entire world of color, awe and secrets, kept out of sight to protect the routine of their lives. Much we tell you, and remember more, I reckon that you know so, do you want longer still? Tell us your secrets, wise ones of old. Tell us your stories about the time when the gods were born, and the sun, and the wind. Tell us about the things that have been veiled from our sights after we lost our sense of wonder. The bus continued on through the long night, and when dawn was least expected, it burst over the horizon, sending out bright beams of light and tinting the tranquil scenery with rose, yellow, and violet colors. Our every thought halted, elated in this mesmerizing mix of color and light, and all other worries were so far in the distance we could barely make out their whispers, disconnected from their significance. We had made it through the daring journey of the night, and this was our reward for recognizing and respecting the two sides of existence, the dark and the light, as one. Everything was perfectly still, and I didn't notice it at first because it worked in such blessed harmony with the amazing sight before our eyes. Denise, have you noticed something strange?
What?
Look at the trees, there is not one leaf moving, not one sound, everything is absolutely still. Denise looked at me, irked but vindicated. I told you the knotted rope was working,